Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Tune in. Tune in.
A pleasant good morning to you. It is 10:19. 10:19 a.m. here on Dominica. It's a beautiful sunny day here. Some of us are saying, Lord, it is hot out there. But the coolness have begun and most of us are pulling off the blankets and the comforters and, as they would say, chauffeuring in the night because it's really, really cool. I mean, if you're living in Loda and Warner and the Valley and, you know, places like that, and there is a Penville, those areas are very, very cool at nights. And particularly now, Christmas is approaching. I know many people are pulling off those blankets now and covering up maybe from head to toe. But I'm the person, no matter how cold it is, I still have to sleep with my fan. I'm just that type of person. I still have to sleep with the fan on. So, good morning to you, those of you who are just joining us, maybe for the first time on Health Vibes, a pleasant good morning to you. You might be on a bus at this time, commuting. Good morning. You might be on your farm. You might be on the sea listening to QFM at this time. Good morning to you. We want to say to you, if you're driving, be careful. Drive cautiously. Remember that you have important people on board. If you're a bus driver, ensure that you have your seatbelts on too. If you have children on board, ensure that they have seatbelts on. Everybody should have seatbelts. If seatbelts are available at the seat that you are on. Yeah, so it is a very good day here, and this morning we are going to be talking about something very important. I do hope that it's not going to cause you to be anxious. It's not going to cause you to be afraid, and it's not going to cause you to worry. But it is a discussion that we all have to start discussing. We have to start thinking about it, and we have to start finding out the answers. Why is it happening? We expect many calls today. We expect a full participation this morning. As you know, this show is not about me, it's not about Jolly's, it's about you. It's about, so your interaction with me on a Wednesday is very, very important. And so I solicit your effort in making today's episode an exceptional one. This morning, we are going to be focusing on the question, why are we dying? Why are we dying? Why are so many people dying? I mean, these days, it's like you just heard somebody died and you go out there and you sympathize with the family and you support them. Even before the person is buried, you hearing about somebody else you know very well has died. And these deaths, these days, most of them are very, very sudden. You know, sudden. Or you just hear, you know, this young person went to the doctor and was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And within a month or two, they have gone. Or you just hear this person succumbed to a heart attack or to a stroke. So we are going to be talking about this morning. Where are we dying? Where are so many people dying? We're going to look at some statistics here in Dominica. We'll be looking at statistics globally as well as to what are the main causes of death globally. We will look at statistics from Dominica. I was fortunate enough to get statistics as of 2019. So that's really good stuff that I can get statistics. I will talk a little about the life expectancy here on Dominica. So I really want you to listen. We should not be afraid to talk about death. We should not, if we are comfortable enough to talk about death, then it makes it even better that we can do what it takes to delay. We know that we will all die someday, but at least we can do whatever it takes to get to the fullest of our life expectancy. And so this morning we are going to be discussing on this, discussing this topic. Why are we dying? So let me just give you the numbers. 449-3095, 449-3096, 449-3097, 616-4257. And of course, if you reside out of Dominica, you can participate as well. And so the number that you can call if you want to participate, if you're calling from overseas, that number is 305-432-9624. That number again is 305-432-9624. You are welcome to call. We want to hear from you as well as to what's happening in your neck of the woods as it relates to why are so many of us dying. Let's take a break and then we'll be right back as we explore this very important topic on Health Vibes.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in. Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
So we're back with you this morning as we are discussing why are we dying? Why are so many people dying? I mean, 2020 has been a precedented year where most of us are saying, wow, when is it going to close? But we still don't know what 2021 is going to bring. We know COVID came. Many people have succumbed to COVID worldwide. I mean, the numbers are just astonishing. We also have our own deaths here in Dominica. Many of our people have died of cancer, strokes, vehicle accidents, complications of the heart, and different other illnesses. And many people are grieving at this time. Many people are still, you know, in pain of losing a loved one. We know that we are in the Christmas season, and it's when the year sort of, you know, climatizes, and all the memories of the year comes to your mind, and then you look and you realize that that particular loved one is no longer there on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, and it will be most likely difficult. But we want to talk about this a while. Why are we dying? We know that the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So in a sense, the payment of living in sin, because we were born of sin, is death. So that's a guarantee that we all know. Once we are born, we will all die at some point in our life. We're not here forever. I'm one who is very, very realistic about life and about death. I may have a choice to say, well, I don't want to die. I always say I would not want to die by drowning. I would not want to die by somebody murdering me, and I would not want to die in a fire. So those are the three things that I'm always saying. I wouldn't want to die that way. But yet still, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to come, but I know some way, someday, it will come. And so when I live that way, I find myself living with more gratitude. I find myself living more at peace. I find myself being more circumspect with the way I live my life. I find myself a calmer person because I live expecting death at some point. You know, so when we live that way, we do better. But this one, we're going to really talk about death from an epidemiological standpoint and from a pathological standpoint. I think somebody wants to call. Somebody is on the line. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. The caller has left. All right. So let's look at some global statistics from the World Health Organization that I gathered. And we're going to look at the 10 global causes of death. And that came from the World Health Organization. The last compilation was 2016, from what I gathered. And they have outlined the top 10 global causes of death worldwide. The first one, ischemic heart disease, and or what we call coronary heart disease. And that is when oxygenated blood cannot pass through the blood vessels of the heart, and the heart gets starved of oxygenated blood, and you end up dying. So that's the number one cause of death, ischemic heart disease. Number two, strokes, or what we call cerebrovascular accident, strokes. Number three, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. So people who just cannot produce a lot of mucus, they cannot breathe very well. That is a disease that's very common in smokers, chronic smokers. Four, lower respiratory infections. So those comprise of diseases like pneumonia, acute bronchitis, influenza, whooping cough. So those diseases are examples of lower respiratory tract infections. The number four biggest cause of death in the world. Number five is cancer of the lungs or the respiratory system, lung cancer. Number six, diabetes, complications of diabetes. Number seven, road accidents, motor vehicle accidents, road injuries, accidents. So that's number seven. Number eight, diseases that are caused, diarrheal diseases. So you might have, you know, certain infections in the gastrointestinal system that may cause death. Like, for example, you may end up having septicemia, which is like a blood poisoning, like a lot of bacteria in your bloodstream, which can be very deadly. And the last one, tuberculosis. So those are the 10 major causes of death in the world based on the World Health Organization gathered from 2000 to 2016. So that's 16 years compilation of data that basically gives credence to the fact that these conditions are the 10 major ones that are causing so many of us to die, so many people in the world to die. Let's look at, in terms of 2000, let's say we had the statistics for 2016. From what I've gathered, irrespective of what economic bracket, whether you are lower income, whether it's lower middle income, upper middle income, higher middle income, two main diseases that remains the major cause of death worldwide. And believe it or not, when I look at Dominica's statistics, Dominica falls right in line with those two major diseases that are killing most of us in this world. And this is ischemic heart disease and strokes. So they are the two major causes of death worldwide, also including Dominica. We have a caller? Okay, all right. Including Dominica. So ischemic heart disease, we have to start talking about our heart. We have to start doing things to protect our heart. We have to start looking at, we will talk about some of the things that we must do to take care of ourselves as individuals. The life expectancy of Dominica, I got that from the World Bank data, dated 2002, states that the life expectancy in Dominica currently, well, from that time, was 77 years. I'm not too sure what if it remains that same number or whether it has reduced. But 77 years is the life expectancy here in Dominica. When I look at the statistics relating to the 10 major causes or leading causes of death in Dominica, in terms of gender, we're going to look at males and females. Let's take this call and then we'll be back. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's true the Bible is saying the wages of sin is death. But it's also written that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is the sin we are committing is causing death. All we have to do is repent and obey the commandments and we live forever and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we live forever. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution. All right, so I was saying there are 10 leading causes of death in Dominica. That is statistics that I gathered. And that came from 2006 to 2010. And I also have 2009 to 2019. So if we look at males in between the years 2006 and 2010, in males, the number one cause of death in Dominica was prostate cancer. In males, prostate cancer. Then strokes. Third, ischemic heart disease. Fourth, pulmonary heart disease. Fifth, diabetes. Sixth, complications of high blood pressure. Seven, acute respiratory infections. Eight, chronic lower respiratory tract infections that include things like pneumonia, asthma, and so forth. Eighth, heart failure, and ninth, cancer of the digestive system. So whether it could be stomach cancer, it could be colon cancer, and so forth. In females, within that time frame, 2006 to 2010, the number one cause of death in females within that age period, within that year period, within the period of that 4-year period, was strokes. In women, strokes. Number one, two, diabetes. Three, complications of high blood pressure. Four, ischemic heart disease. Five, acute respiratory disease. Six, pulmonary heart disease. Seven, breast cancer. Eight, heart disease. Nine, cancer of the digestive organs. And 10, chronic lower respiratory diseases. Now, if we look at the most current statistic that we have, which is 2019, last year, the number one cause of death in Dominica last year was ischemic heart disease. Number one. Number two, was stroke. Number three, complications of diabetes. Number four, prostate cancer. Number six, chronic kidney disease. Number five, chronic kidney disease. Number six, hypertensive heart disease. Number seven, lower respiratory tract infections. Number eight, cardiomegaly. Cardiomegaly meaning enlargement of the heart. Okay. You can have complications of the complications relating to the muscles of the heart as well. Number nine, Alzheimer's disease. And number 10, stomach cancer. So those are the 10 main cause of death in Dominica. And that came from the healthdata.org/Dominica. That's where I got that statistic from. The main causes of death in 2019 in Dominica were this. So we're seeing that even in 2009, between 2009 to 2019, the four main causes of death remains the same in Dominica, which are ischemic heart disease, stroke, complications of diabetes, and prostate cancer. So those are the four main causes of death here in Dominica. And so we have to begin asking ourselves questions and having that conversation. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, sir. I noticed for a moment I was a little taken aback that you were not mentioning stomach cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see you just mentioned it because losing a good friend recently to stomach cancer really have me in a state there. If you could speak about it. Mm-hmm. Take care, my brother.
You're welcome. I understand your ordeal at this time, the emotional toll that the loss may have on you. I sympathize with you, and I pray that God will give you the courage to deal with this situation, as it were. But we will talk a little about that in terms of the common cancers that we see here in Dominica and some of the precautions that we can take to prevent or delay the early onset of these cancers. Let's take another caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm going back a little bit, not in terms of normal physical things that, allow us to die or make us die, but an indication of what you said earlier that I found fascinating. I didn't know people were still quoting that the wages of
sin
is death. Is that how you put it?
Yes, that's a scripture.
And the logic
Bible.
Of it is because we are sinners, that is to say we were born because of, what was that thing, original
because,
sin or
because
something
we
like
were
that?
Born from Adam okay. and Eve who the Bible okay. says sinned, then we were paying for that.
For that.
Yes.
Now, first question is, you think that was fair, that we should forever pay for the sins of Adam and Eve? but let me move on, because there's a simple answer to that. But what I'm getting at is that, logically, if that is so, then the people who are trying, because you're not as old as me, but you're old enough to have met a variety of people in life. Mm-hmm. Some that you really don't want to be friendly with because they strike you as mischievous, they lie a lot, they're dishonest, and so on. And some who are middle of the road, they may lie a little bit, but they're generally nice people. And some who are, in a way you can know, are spiritually holy, they're always trying their best, right?
Mm-hmm.
To do good for other men, so on. When they die, what happens to them? Because presumably they're still subject to original sin.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to them in terms of heaven or hell?
Well, I'm not a theologian. I'm a medical person, but from my Christian belief,
Right.
We're told that the blood of Jesus cleanses us and washes away all sins. And if we confess our sins to him, then he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from what the scripture says. That redeems us to be with him forever. That's all Christian belief. Christians believe that.
Well, but you would admit less and less, because we are now going to the era of science where we look at things. You know, the Christian things, and even if you look at the Bible, it says a lot of things that don't seem to be quite right now. And as we get and we look at science, that can't be so. And I know for a fact the church used to say at one time that the world was flat. That was their belief. That was a Christian belief. And then science proved irretrievably that, you know, no, the earth is not flat. And also that the earth does not go around the sun. That in fact, the earth goes around the sun. It's not that everything else went around the earth. They tried to make a stream. But what I'm getting at, you see, what is fairness? And why is it true? I enjoy a good argument or discussion. But I'm more concerned in that us reaching people with common sense explanation. In other words, on the issue of death, clearly, we didn't need faith to tell us that we're probably going to die, because we read somewhere that, you know, you have to die because we have original sin. Because all animals and all kind of eventually die. That is natural. That is nature. Right? Mm-hmm. So we begin to accept those things. Now, some things we do not want to believe because our Christian faith suggested this is that now. And we haven't had the education or the scientific explanation yet that we should believe something different. But logic often suggests something different. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing that, sir, to suggest that rather than repeat Christian beliefs, we have to acknowledge that most people, as education becomes more and more available, mm-hmm. and in fact practiced all over the world, and that is why a lot of young people are discounting religion, because they say, look, this thing in the Bible, can I have this thing, you know, now unbelievable. This thing about Adam and Eve, now we find out man was around for millions of years, and all this kind of thing. Why that is important, and I will end, because you do have a
little Yes, the lines are going, I do.
Yeah, is that we must learn, I think, man, to think for ourselves, and clearly we can understand why we should not kill another man or a woman, as so happens these days. Because common sense is wrong to do harm to another person. It's not because the Bible says you shouldn't kill another man. It is right to love our wife, because common sense says that is important, because to this day, there's still wars and whatnot being fought over religion. And the less belief we have in strict religion, I think it would be better for the world. Plus, it would recognize that in the schools, for instance, since more and more they're not appreciating some of the values of religion, and there's some good values in religion, we need to come up with something else that can persuade young people to appreciate the value of treating people well, helping one another, practicing goodness to our elderly and that kind of thing.
We have to wrap up.
That's the point I want to make. We should start thinking for ourselves.
Thank you for your patience. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Yes, another caller is there. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. Is Carlton?
Yes, this is he.
Okay. Conversation for just 2 minutes. You said man came from Adam and Eve, right?
Excuse me, sir.
Right.
What's
you
that?
You said all men.
You fluctuating.
All men came from Adam and Eve, right?
I just basically quoted what the Bible says. I was just saying based on what the caller was saying to me, I just said to him what the Bible has said. So I'm not being religious in per se. I just mentioned he asked me a question and I mentioned something to him.
Okay.
I really don't want this discussion to really get into a theology discussion, because there's so much that I want to talk about as it relates to our death statistics here in Dominica and the world, what is killing us, and to talk a little about the chronic non-communicable diseases. But I really don't want to censor this discussion merely on beliefs and so forth. If you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know? I can do that in a subsequent show, but this one, the aim of it is really to sensitize our public, our populace, as to what is killing us here. Okay? All right. Yes, let's, any more calls? All right. So we're saying that from what the statistics are showing, the four main causes of death here in Dominica are ischemic heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and prostate cancer. And most of us can identify with these statistics because we know at least one or two people around us in our neighborhoods who have succumbed. Some may have been on the elderly side, some of them may have been middle-aged, still productive, still can work, and some may have been younger. And so we can identify with those statistics. The question is, though, how can we protect ourselves? Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
I'm overdoing it.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You're live on radio.
I realize that. This matter is not on the open line this morning. We are discussing something differently.
Okay, all right. So this is Health Vibes.
Okay, hi, how you doing? Good morning. I'm listening to the program. I'm just in my actually phone handle accidentally call actually was on. So okay. I didn't realize.
All right, no problem.
Good program. We're listening.
Thank you so much. Yes. We have the next caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Carlton, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Hey, I listened to your discussion. I know you don't want to make it a theological debate, but I just want to tell Parry, the best information is the Bible. And we have to die because the Bible says we will die, but we die in prematurely, mainly because of our lifestyle. When you go That's back true. To our grandparents, they live so long. Today, we're not eating what they eat, we're not drinking what they drink, we're not exercising how they exercise. So that is why we are dying prematurely. Mm-hmm. But the Bible have the answer to all our questions. Science doesn't have it. The Word of God have it. I'll leave that like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, caller. Appreciate that. We try to make everybody's beliefs and opinions count. We try to make that. All right. So let's look at lifestyle, and I'm glad that the caller actually raised that point, because most of these diseases that we are seeing are aligned to our lifestyle, what we eat, how we take care of ourselves, what we believe, because sometimes our belief influences how we behave. And believe it or not, if you believe that smoking is going to you well, you will smoke. No matter what somebody tells you, believe in the benefits of it, you will smoke, irrespective of what some of the complications may occur. So your belief influences your lifestyle. Your culture also influences your lifestyle. There are certain cultures, they eat a lot of pepper. There are certain cultures, they eat a lot of red meat. There are certain cultures, they smoke heavily, like the Chinese, they smoke a lot. There are certain cultures, they drink a lot of alcohol, like the Europeans, because they say that they're very cold, so they believe in their vodka and their gin and so forth. So all these influences our lifestyle. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. Good morning, caller.
Okay, good morning. I heard you talking about stomach cancer. I wanted to explain a little more of it for us so that we can understand what are the signs that we really get into the stomach cancer and etc. You know, just exploring it, because you described 10 different ones, but I mean, so the signs, you know, as a living person.
Yeah, we were just outlining the different causes of death, and so stomach cancer was in the list. But I did not censor specifically on any particular disease in that list as yet. Okay? But I will give you some of the signs and symptoms.
Now, doing the work of Mr. Jolly, and I think you are learning properly, and just keep it up and educate us while we don't know anything.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. So we're talking about some of the preceptors that can actually influence our lifestyles. And we're talking about culture, we're talking about behavior, we're talking about beliefs, all right? We're talking about traditions as well, can also, well, tradition comes under culture, can also influence our lifestyles. But if we're talking about, if we again were to compare and contrast, I'm a child of the early 70s. So at least I was blessed enough to know what it was like in Dominica without, most places without potable water, but a standpipe. So you had to go and carry water, sometimes from a long distance, how many trips, how many pails of water. You know, there were still trucks. There were not many buses. Not many people in the communities had personal vehicles. So most of us walked. Even coming from school, most children walked. You had to go to the garden. You walked. So you were definitely more active. Then there came the advent of all these American foods on the market. And most of us felt that the foods that we grew up in were poor people food. They were the Malawi food. We did not want this type of food anymore. Even if our parents would have gotten up in the morning and given us a fruit to take to school, we felt a banana, a ripe banana was a poor thing. And so you envied the child that maybe had the bread and cheese and butter as the preferred snack, because you felt that yours was a poor person's food. And now we recognize that's where the confusion began. And most of us began indulging more in the tin stuff, whereas our grandparents, or even our parents, when they were growing up, they basically had tin stuff, corned beef or so, maybe only on Sundays. But in the weekdays, they would have more fresh fish because they would go to the beach, go to the seaside and pull the sen and get their local fish, their, as they would call it, their loo. They would get their loo and they would go home and cook a nice broth and stuff. So we recognize the changes with time. In times past as well, there were basically hedges surrounding homes. Now everybody has a wall. So people communicated, they traded. Your mother cooks something, the neighbor cooks something, they'll trade lunch. Sometimes this person give that one, this person give that one. There were many backyard gardens in those days too. Everybody was planting something in their yard, in an old drum, in an old tire. They were planting things. Now we've seen a reduction in that. How many homes do you go to and you actually see a backyard garden? You see a herbal garden. You don't see much of that. Let's take a caller. Good morning to you, caller. Good morning, caller.
Accountant.
Yes, good morning.
I say this because just to say some love and to say, you know, we really admire that you have this topic this morning, and this is significant and timely. When you were speaking, you gave where you got the statistics from, and I missed that, so I called to ask the question. Did you see that they have abortion as one of the causes, you know, of death on there?
No, ma'am.
By any chance?
No, ma'am. No.
And to me, you know, that says a lot, and that is, you know, significant. And how you started off with the introduction when we're talking about life, understanding how life, you know, came into existence because we all came in, you know, as babies. Mm-hmm. And if that is not part of the statistic, you know, that is, you know, something that we should, you know, ponder upon. And just as I'm going, because I'm behind with listening, you know, to you per se, now is a significant time for those who may be, you know, querying or maybe put you in a stance, maybe try to make it, you know, difficult. We have to understand that, you know, the pandemic that is going on about, and we know of the foolish things of the world that will be used to confound, you know, the whites. Now we have most schools, you know, doing online. So for those of us who have been trying to fight against even life itself, the Great Tribulation is very close, you know, to starting. So we will be able to stop fighting our Creator who gave us life, and to be able to say, yes, we have inherited, you know, light, and to take, you know, introspection and to start thinking, you know, where do we turn, and have we been embracing life the way that we should, so we can really receive, you know, the best and that good, you know, that has been set up for us. And for us who have been thinking, for you, Carlton, you have children, when your children do good and you hear that, you go to the PTAs and the parents, you know, are talking and the teachers are saying how the children are doing good, that makes you feel good.
Definitely.
How do they expect that our first parents, you know, did not, you know, feel, you know, so much, you know, pain to see that their actions, you know, cause so much, you know, damage on us, and that will help us to look at salvation. So much to appreciate that God has set, you know, life on a path where the Creator became that way for us, so as to obtain all that He set up for us, you know, to be in paradise and to just receive good and love. Thank you, Carlton.
Thank you, ma'am.
Much of love.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And so I was merely doing a comparison based on the time I was born and what I saw, how things were done then and how it is now. We did not have many fast foods. We did not have no fast foods predominantly. I mean, people just cooked a little fried chicken, and you had that only when you were going out in, or you had it on a Sunday. But generally, in the weekdays, you had a soup day, you had your broth, you had these things. We didn't make, there were not many people with ovens, portable ovens in stove, like you know, most people had flat stove. So people were not baking as such. People were not doing all these pies like we do now. And so when we do these analysis, we're seeing definitely how lifestyle impacts our general health and wellness. And hence we're seeing the spike in all these diseases that are festering now, not just Dominica and the Caribbean, but the world by extension. More and more of our people are smoking more than ever. It's almost like it's the new norm that every other young person is smoking, whether it's marijuana or cigarettes. The average person, pick up a fast food and that is lunch. So eating habits have changed. We are so busy trying to make what we call life, economic life, that most of the times we forget to take care of ourselves. So our stress levels are very high. We are not sleeping enough because we're hustling the dollar. And even when we're supposed to be sleeping, we're thinking of ways that we can make more money to live so-called more comfortable. So our quality of sleep is compromised. We're not getting enough time to even recreate and exercise, because again, we are hustling so much. And most of the times when we do get home and we would have had dinner or supper, then we just fall asleep. We're tired, and so therefore you're not motivated to do no type of exercise. Our stress levels are very high. Depression is on the rise. Anxiety is on the rise because of all these levels of economic gain, so to speak. And so we have people more anxious. We have people more stressed out. And so that gives rise to high blood pressure. And that gives rise to cardiovascular health risk. Okay? It gives rise to mental illness. And we see in these preceptors as variables that increases the risk for premature death. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Okay, Ron, I just say hello, morning.
Yes.
I'm very impressed of your program this morning.
Thank you, sir.
The whole matter of how people dying so quick. Mm-hmm. What I would like you to do, Mr. Carlton, I would like you to go back from, if you get some archive from the 40s to the 50s, how long people was living back then. And what you're saying is you're so right. You know, one of the things we really lacking of, Carlton, vitamin D from the sun that helps to fight a lot of illness in the body. If you check it out, as you're saying, children stand by the road, they get a bus to go to work, it's to school. They come back, they get a vehicle. Everybody goes in this air condition. When you go in that air condition, what you find is that you reduce your body temperature. Mm-hmm. Ain't it?
Yeah.
Ain't it? Mm-hmm. Your body's supposed to be at least 30 degrees in heat, not so?
Yes.
Right. What you find will happen, you dehydrating on the cold side. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So your blood pressure sometimes goes down because you need your body to be warm that your blood can circulate, ain't it?
Yes.
Right. And you're exactly right. It's our food. When you go to the restaurants, you buy a set of fries and meat, and then you take in a percentage of sweet drink with it. What the sugar does, it distracting the proteins you're supposed to eat out of the food at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're putting in so much sugar at the same time you're eating, so the body gets nothing. Now, what you are accommodating there is diabetes. And you're so right. Carl, don't just take a boat and go to Sufuye in Martinique, where the farmers used to do farming, and they was using a lot of chemicals. Martinique have one of the highest postage problems in the Caribbean. Do your research. I'm not just saying you're very right.
Yes.
You like the mates on the Titanic. Titanic's death. Morning, Mr. Jolly, smiling, brother.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're like the chief medical doctor. You're not a pharmacist.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yeah, so as I was saying too, you know, when we look at the differences that exist right now, we're recognizing that so much has changed. And it makes it even a bit difficult to reorient ourselves to what is expected as the healthier alternative to improving our health. Most of us are saying that healthier foods have gotten so expensive now, because yet we expect the healthier foods to be packaged already for us. Most of us don't want to plant them, those that can be planted and harvest them on our own. We want them to be packaged. And think of the economics that comes with the packaging. It's left wherever, it's procured, it gets to your shores at how many different taxes are imposed on it. It gets on the shelf. You have to pay for the shelf space that it gets, the preservation, the cleaning of it, the preparation of it. We have to pay for all of that as consumers. But if we begin to really plant the foods that we believe and know are the healthier alternatives, then it means that we're going to actually spend less. I think we have a caller. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Hey, good morning, Carlton.
My friend, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I am good. What about you?
I am doing well.
This
is your topic.
Yeah, well, great program. I really just wanted to listen, but sometimes you have to really interject. But I really want to say great program and great topic, most of all,
mm-hmm.
because it comes back to just lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And lifestyle meaning that how we eat in terms of the quality of foods that we eat, in terms of exercise, in terms of the area that we live sometimes, the environment,
true.
And our levels of wellness in terms of happiness or
mm-hmm.
sadness or stressfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these things play a role. But I want to just interject there. I mean, you have a situation where the body make billions of cells die in our body in
yes.
a day to make way for new ones, right?
Yes.
Now, the gastrointestinal tract
mm-hmm.
is one of those that actually constantly reproducing
that's
cells,
true.
Right? Now, the rest of the body, in terms of the nerves and the muscles, they don't reproduce cells. So they have to get those cells from somewhere else. Now, if the gastrointestinal tract is doing so much work and you're eating the wrong set of food,
mm.
what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not... We're actually supposed to be billions of cells are dying to make way for new ones. And then you're not eating the right set of food. So that means Your body is constantly working hard to balance off itself, whilst you eating badly and fighting against that process. So in the process that you're helping to kill cells in your body rather than to reproduce cells or to make new ones. So I think that's going to cause premature aging, premature dying. Is all these things going to come under that lining if you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do? We are supposed to be people that are living out of plant-based foods. And we're eating so many other things, like you're saying, that are packaged. And even though we know what is good for us, but we still want it in the package. Sometimes when you get it in the package, you still want somebody to do it for you. So these are the things that are happening to us that we need to turn around. And I just want to say again, very good program. Continue what you're doing, my brother. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for your call. And so I'm glad that actually Mervyn brought that up. And I like the fact that he interjected the environmental factors as well. We know climate change is a big thing now. The environment is not as it were 40 years ago, 60 years ago. We've seen our water quality has changed. Years ago, even as a boy growing up, we could have just gone to the Belfast River and just carry a bucket of water and just drink. You know, nobody never gave us chlorine tablets to put in the water. And we just drank our water and nobody had no major gastrointestinal issues. Can you do that now? The question is, can we do that now? Because with the advent of settlements and urbanization, we've seen more and more wastewater from homes, from sinks in the home, it gets into a ravine. And then from a ravine, the ravine might be a tributary to a major river. So then, in a sense, the quality of the water has changed because of settlements and urbanization. So all of these, the whole debate of development, what role does it play in influencing an influx in our statistics, in our death statistics? That in itself is another factor that we can look into. Because that changes the organic nature of our environment. We have less trees now. Many areas that we remembered as children, they were forested. I remember growing up in Jimmit, and all where the houses are now was cover and soursop trees and mocha trees and tamawedesian and all those things were grown there. Now you have settlement, and so the quality has changed. Now everybody's feeling hot because not many trees are in the area like before. If you're talking about a reduction of trees, we're talking about a reduction of oxygen. See, because we get our oxygen from trees. So it's basic science that if we talk about, you know, highly industrialized countries like China, we know of their air quality is highly polluted, and that in itself compromises their overall health. So the debate of development and industrialization must be a factor in deaths as well. And as I were talking about, everybody, all of us want to have the best house, we want to give our children the best education, and so therefore we push ourselves to work the extra to get the promotion, go to extra classes to get highly and more educated. But at the end of the day, yes, we're doing all of that, but are we pushing ourselves so much that it's affecting our quality of life? Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. How we doing, man?
I'm doing good. And hey. You?
Oh, Carter, not good, man. The Most High blessed me this morning of my life. It's nice and sunny outside, cool weather. We are in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm listening to your conversation, and I'm glad you redirected the conversation, like Mervyn and the other brother who told you about the frosted problem in Matnik with the chemical that sprayed and everything, and now the water polluted and everything, and you redirected the conversation to the real cause of our problem today. And like when I often speak, I always say there's cause and effect. You may gain one thing, but you trade something else for it, and now it's your life. We were talking about the environment, the chemicals, the bad foods, and things that we once considered, like, say, Malawi food, mm-hmm. or Malawi food,
yes.
is the best food now. And now there's a movement to be organic, meaning they want to bring it back to where we came from, to what it was, and which is the best way. Carlton, what I've noticed is a lot of people are missing the point. I don't know if you could hear me, but it's kind of windy outside.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Okay, what I've noticed is a lot of people take a subject and direct the subject or try to inject certain things instead of looking at the science, the facts of the thing. When I look at in Dominica today, and not only in Dominica, in different parts of the region and the United States, these are the places I've been, Europe and whatnot, you see a different lifestyle, and it gradually comes to the Caribbean, and the people who gave us the lifestyle that we are trying to get to today are changing the ways yeah. that they used to, because now they learn to turn things, try to turn things around. Like right now in the D.C. area, there are two rivers, the Potomac River and the Anacostia River, heavily polluted. Now there's a big movement. They have been spending millions and millions of dollars to clean up the river, coming with different ways. And there's some improvement because they realize they have made a big mistake. So why are we going the same way that they went? When they're learning, we should learn from their mistakes and see what's taking place to reverse some of the damage that has been done in a place like Dominica, because it's an island that is so big. After a while, if you pollute the island, you have nowhere to go.
Thank you, Kwala.
So people must learn if your health and the diseases, like most of the same things that you name, is like you just said it a while ago, mm-hmm. is because of lifestyle and diet, mm-hmm. basically. Yes. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kwala. Let's see this other caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't have a topic to be on. That's only talking about death. When somebody dies, where do
they go? No. I merely was talking about, we're talking about the causes of death here in Dominica. Why are so many people are dying? What the statistics are showing, and how can we prevent? We know that we will die, but how can we delay the onset of death, the early onset of death, or the premature onset of death? That's what we're discussing this morning.
Okay. I believe that even we had a discussion early on too this morning, and the death of the young girl gone is, and now we get information to know that it's through the husband. Sometimes pressure on the family, on your husband, according to your family, sometimes pressure on your family. Your husband, according to the husband that you're married to, sometimes give you pressure, and sometimes maybe you might have somebody else, and then you get to know, and all that can cause that death, in your life. And according to what you eat too, because sometimes we eat certain things that is not good, especially we eat and drink. So that is a certain thing that we need to cut down on meat and certain things and more food. So that is a situation that we need to deal with in our lifestyle that God put for us. So that's going to cause us to get sick, and later on, we want to see the sickness now. But as we get older, the sickness became inside our body and became a thing. And sometimes you go to the doctor and he cannot get the medication to help you. And sometimes a lot of death dies, on our weight. So the many things can cause life. And that's a good topic, and we can continue next week, please.
Thank you so much, Kola. Much appreciated. So we're talking about lifestyle modifications, and we're saying that urbanization and development does have a role to play in what is happening now. We're saying that more and more the working class is under more stress. You want to build a house, you put yourself under a mortgage. That means whether you like the job or not, you become a slave almost to the job, because you don't want to lose your house, you don't want to lose your property. You want to ensure that your children gets the best education. So you stretch yourself. But at what cost are you stretching yourself? Are we taking enough care for ourselves? Are we doing the necessary practices that is going to help us to remain healthier? Are we more economically sustained, but medically we are deficient. And that is one of the things that's happening, that we're seeing, you know, young people just departing, just saying goodbye because of the lifestyle. We're seeing an influx of, as I was saying, more and more people are smoking. Young people just get into the habit of smoking. And again, that's a cultural shift that is happening with the decriminalization of marijuana. In some countries, the legalization of marijuana, that in itself catalyzes the upsurge of young people wanting to smoke more. But at what cost? More and more, we're seeing that the manufacturers of alcohol are making the advertisements more appealing. They're making the packaging more accessible. So you don't have to buy a big bottle of alcohol anymore. You can buy a small bottle to just put in your back pocket, put in the vehicle. You know, you feel a bit stressed out and you can have a drink. And then that drink continues and continues, and then you end up having alcohol abuse or disorder. We're seeing a spike in obesity. So many of our children or young people are obese. They have passed the overweight category and they are now obese, predisposing them more to chronic diseases. And we've also seen the advent of a new subculture, even fighting against the obesity pandemic. People feel very comfortable about themselves. They feel that I am voluptuous, I'm going to get more people. This is how I want to be. You tell them medically that you're obese, you need to be X, Y, Z in terms of your weight, and they hack you. Or they tell you, well, it's their family traits. Everybody has big bones, and so that's how they are. And they don't want to reduce. And then subsequently, they begin to see changes in their health. So these are things that we need to start having wholesome discussions on. And not just discussions, but the discussions have to be objective. They have to be objective. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Hi, good morning, Carlson. And how are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay, Carlson, well, let me tell you what I know I do, and I think most young women, well, my age, because I'm in my late 40s,
mm-hmm.
and normally I know of women that they're given aspirin and some, more or less aspirin, because around that time, you know, you tend to get clots or you tend to get stroke or whatever, so you need your blood
to be thin. Uh-huh.
Right. And also, I'm saying that these things have been, well, when I checked my LDL once, it was 171, and then this is high because the range is up to 160.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, well, what happened was I love seafood, but then the nurse was telling me that normally or sometimes the seafood, calcium in the seafood turns to cholesterol.
That's true. That's
right.
Very true.
So sometimes I think eating healthy sometimes is even eating bad. Because,
well, it's moderation, you know. It's moderation and quantity. You have to look at portions.
True. So what I'm saying was what I do is from things I noticed that I've been doing my LDL test twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Just so you're monitoring.
Very good. So a lot of times when we go and do our health checks, we need to stress on our cholesterol, because a lot of persons maybe feel they may be slim and trim.
That's very
but
true.
Their cholesterol is very high.
Very good point.
You understand? So I'm saying when we as young people, I'm saying that call out there, when you go to the doctors, make them check your LDL, your cholesterol on a whole, and take that very seriously.
That's
you know,
true.
Because fat, I know fat people that are very healthy, and I know fat people that are very sick. I know slim people that are very healthy, and I have slim friends that have cholesterol higher than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, and I know a lot of people like love stuffed eggs, for instance. So that, again, when you know you have that kind of a craving, especially check your cholesterol level, please, young people, when you go to the doctor, make them test you earlier. You can research it as well, and you will see that, you know, sometimes when we feel we are healthy, we are not. And stroke comes in an instant and take us like that because our cholesterol is high.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. All right, let's take this other caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling. Yes, good morning.
Hi. Okay, well, you called me. You cut me off. Like, I come in at, you cut me off. But what I was trying to tell you earlier on, like, what the based on the people that are taking the drugs, the marijuana, they say marijuana is a drug. Okay, the alcohol, the cigarette. What I believe the government to do, the prime minister, he raising on the food. And I almost said I was trying to see if I can meet him. What for him to do? Like, he raising on the food. He needs to bring down the prices on the food and raise on the alcohol and mm-hmm. the cigarettes.
Good yes. point. Good
yeah.
point.
He needs to raise on the food, put down the prices on the food and the people, and raise a good price that the buyer won't able to buy too much, but the product will sell a bit low, but raise on the alcohol and the cigarette. So
Thank
that
you.
So people can live more longer.
Thank
now,
you, Colin.
Yes. No, you based about people are going for different home and what they eat. Like, people eat a lot of meat, a lot of beef, a lot of chicken, a lot of pork.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certain things you tell them not to eat, that they want to eat a lot of bread. And they need to cut down on that level of certain things that they eat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people have different problems at their home. What I think that all you should do, or you should have a committee of, like, a person can handle a family home, and every other 3 months, you go to a family home, and you go to a family, and you discuss their matter, their opinion, what they want, what they feel, that can help them in your family life. So that is the way that you can come to a committee and make a committee, and all of
Thank you, Cola.
Especially a family that haven't got a dad in a mix, like me. So you go there and you find what is the situation they're handling. What I can assist you. And so that is can bring a kind of a strength in family home.
Thank you, caller. Much yes. appreciated. Thank you. Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Thank you. I know that the churches do give support to families and, you know, people who go in for stress. They oftentimes would, you know, rely on their faith or go to speak to their spiritual leader and so forth, you know. So that is still accessible. Most churches in Dominica are open almost every day. And so if you're going for something, there is always somebody in there that you can talk to and can help you emotionally. There are nurses who, you know, people come to see me all the time too on matters. And so I'm always trying to make myself available to assist them. You know, if it's something that's way above me, then I refer them to the person that I think would be able to help them better than I would. But let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller. Thanks for calling.
Carlton, one more thing I'm going to say is I'm an advocate for oats. People think oats is poor people's cereal, but oats is very good.
Okay.
Oats and prunes, I'm an advocate for oats. So I think a lot more persons need to put oats in their diet.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. But again, oats is very good, but oats is also carbohydrate as well. So if you're a diabetic, then you have to look at how often you eat oats and what amount you take. Because it can increase your blood glucose level. So yes, it has a rich source of fiber as well, which can reduce your cholesterol level, but then because it's a carbohydrate, it can increase your glucose level too. And it's a simple carbohydrate, so it spikes quite quickly into the bloodstream. I wanted to mention as well the importance of relaxation and meditation. It's important that yes, we're busy, we've spoken about diet, we've spoken about exercise, we've spoken about modifying, changing or reducing the amount of smoking and alcohol, we've spoken about weight, reducing excess weight, but chilling out, we need to chill out, some of us have too much temper, some of us are too moody. Some of us make everything upset us. We are always disgruntled. And believe it or not, you are more likely to suffer with cardiovascular issues. You are more likely to have high blood pressure. You need to chill out. Relax. Not everything you have to make a trouble about, a debate about, a quarrel about. Some things you just have to let it go. You have to let it go. You have to find ways to heal your own spirit. Some of us have endured pains, emotional scars. People did real terrible things to us. Sometimes your healing comes by releasing, forgiving, and letting go. The more you hold up to things, the more it affects your mental and emotional well-being. So that in itself can also be one of the preceptors that can cause death. Know your family history. It's important to know your family history. Have a chat. One of these days when you go by your mother, you're a young person, you know, ask a question. Mama died in 2006. What killed her? You know, do you remember who was her mother? What do you know if her mother, when her mother died, what killed her? You need to find out those things. It's important to know your family history. Know what's in on the mother's side, know what's on the father's side, know what your brothers has, your sisters have, your brothers have. Know these things, your family history. When you do know that, then at least you can begin to recognize that, wow, my chances of developing this disease is higher because of the family history and sometimes genetics. So it's important to know your family history. Have adequate and consistent rest and sleep. It's important to have adequate rest and sleep. Even for us working people, we leave our homes, we get to the office 10 to 8, 8 o'clock. We have an hour lunch. Sometimes it's good to just, you have your lunch, you just close your eyes for a little bit. Even though it's for 10 minutes, you shut down your brain for a bit. You just give it a moment to rest and relax. I do that all the time. Sit down in my office, put off the lights, don't go on the phone, and just sit in there for at least 15 minutes, tell the secretary no calls, nothing, and just sit in there and just close my eyes and just relax. It rejuvenates you. It sort of resuscitates you. That is important as well. Getting your energy levels up. That is important too. So getting sufficient rest, 7 to 8 hours of consistent sleep. That is important. Clearing your mind before you go and sleep. Trying to avoid, you know, too many amenities in the bedroom that is going to distract you. You know, clear your mind. That's why, you know, again, most of us pray in the night as the last thing we do. It's a way of relaxing. It's a way of clearing our mind, clearing our emotions before we go to bed. So that is something that many people practice. Most of us practice at nighttime. Let's take this caller. I see a caller is there. Good morning to you, caller.
I just call you back and tell you, man. I want to big you up on the chill out statement. That's all.
On the what?
And the chill out, when you tell people to chill out, you need to relax and tell us. Yes. Because it's very important that you do that, because it creates a whole lot of unnecessary anxiety and things. Because a lot of people are stressed. Yes. A lot of people are stressed. And that brings it up, but I'm glad you brought that up, man. Yes. Great.
Thank you. Yes. All right. And that's important. I have always said that the cooler you are, the calmer you are, the more peaceful you are, the younger you look. You do. You generally always radiant. You're always shining. But think of the opposite. You're always sulky. You're always moody. You're always in a trouble. You're always in a drama. You're always aggressive. It's going to take a toll on your physiology. Chill out. I want you to remember that there are four factors that is contributing to our early death. Poor diets, high blood pressure, obesity, and tobacco use. Poor diets is not what you eat, is not how you eat, but what you eat, what portions of what you consume, how frequently you have it. I'm not saying that I don't have a little fast food. But how often do I have that fast food? Once, three times a year, on average, that's okay. Neither here nor there. But if every day you have to be in a line seeking to buy a fast food, that's not good. You have to look at that. So I really want us to begin to not get obsessed or afraid of dying, but begin to have that discussion. Begin to think, what can I do to either delay or prevent premature death? Because some deaths are preventable. Some of us, we do take ourselves to the grave prematurely. And people warned us. People told us to stop certain things. And we just didn't bother. We didn't bother. And we die prematurely. When we could have been here, productive, working people. So I really want us to begin to think of that. Remember, for the global causes of death, the main two causes of death globally, and that also includes Dominica statistic, ischemic heart disease and stroke. We need to take better care of ourselves. I cannot say it any louder. We need to take better care of ourselves. And not just our bodies, but our emotions. A lot of people, their bodies may look good, but their emotions are sick. And because their emotions are sick, their mental health is compromised. And they behave and do things that they should not be doing because they have not dealt with their emotions. And if we're talking about complete wellness, it must include emotional and psychological wellness. The lines are going, but we are out of time. It's 11:34. I really cannot take any more calls. I do hope that today's episode of Health Vibes make you more conscientious about how you take care of that one body that you have. Remember, we are mind, body, and soul. And so, let us take care of our mind. Let us take care of our body. Let us take care of our soul. Until next time, I will be with you, if God's willing, next week Wednesday, for yet another episode of Health Vibes. As always, your health is indeed your greatest resource. Preserve it. Have a good morning. Take care.